We're doing Peretz Tesvav. Going to be Peretz Tesvav for a long time. We're doing Peretz Tesvav, Pasuk Dalet. Start from. Vayishama Shaul Asam. Shaul again, as we did in previous wars, he counted the nation, made a census before he went to war, by Kedem, by Ploim, and he counted them by sheep, because of course now it's count Jews by number, so they count, they each gave a sheep, and they counted the sheep. Messiahim, 200,000, put soldiers to Elif Ragli, Vaseres Halothim, and 10,000 soldiers as each Yehuda from the tribe of Yehuda alone. Obviously the tribe of Yehuda were considered to be the elite. The Malbim here points out, take a look at the Malbim in Dalet, which is on the second on the front, by Shema. This is also brought down here in order to magnify Shaul's sin. You shouldn't believe that Shaul is really afraid of the nation. It's not like he apologizes later on to Shmuel. Because he disciplined the nation. He commanded that they tell the nation the command of the Navi, the statement of the Navi, all of his directions. And they certainly would not have battled against Shaul, rebelled against him, even if he rebuked them not to transgress in the words of the prophet. The king Baal Samar firmly should not say Shechasal Shaul that he saved the booty Mivnei Einov. I'm not sure that's a mistake, but because in any event she saw that. Because of his poverty, that's what it is. Neanyo she savela sholarav, and therefore he wanted all that loot which he left over. Because he, we see that the way he took the census of the nation is by giving each one of the people a sheep. And he counted each one by giving them a sheep. So if he could afford 200,000 sheep, he's not in bad shape financially. So Matthew Shaul is not a poor person.
That word means sheep, or is that a place?
Tlay is a sheep, yeah. Batilaim means with the sheep. Okay? With the sheep, okay? And that's why I'll get to why it says the sheep and not just with sheep in a minute. Yeah.
How do we know that he gave them? Maybe he took
them. The Malbim learns that each one took from Shaul's sheep. But yeah, we don't know that for sure. That's the Malbim's statement. Yeah, one could have assumed that, but the Malbim learns. Right, the Malbim is not learning that way. Yeah. Yeah, it means, in modern Hebrew means discipline. I slipped, really. I mean, in classic Hebrew means that he gave them the, he caused them to listen to what he had to say. Right, that's true. Now, as you mentioned last week, the Targum here, Targum Yonasan, brings down that Batlaim means the specific sheep. And the specific sheep mentioned here are Be'imre Pischaya, Karbonos Pesach. Right? We count to them, obviously this fight, this war was taking place at the time of Pesach, and he was fighting there, he had them counted via Karbonos Pesach, which each one of them brought or was given from the herds of the king. Now, that's a very interesting thing here, which we see, that Mechias Amalek is connected with Pesach, right? Obviously, it's not my association, the Targum Yonasan makes that association, right? So, the question is why it should be that way and what the intrinsic connection is, and of course, in order to see a connection, we have to see Reb Tzadok. So, if you take a look here at my notes, right there, yeah, on the second to last page. Third line down. This is, by the way, before I forget, next Wednesday, this is the last Wednesday before Pesach. We'll pick up again 3 weeks from tonight after Pesach. 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Not next Wednesday, and not the Wednesday after, not the Wednesday after, except 4 weeks from tonight, right? 4 weeks. However, no Shir Tuesday night either. However, Monday night, I'm going to give a special Shir on Pesach, 9:30.
9:30, yeah. 9:30 tomorrow. Based on guess who. Okay, in any event, Pesach. This mitzvah Pesach should tzivu lahem, which Kosh Baruch commanded Klai Yisrael, likach sele beisavos, and each family should take a sheep for their household. She be'ilah de mitzroi dachlin lei. We know that the Egyptians worshipped the sheep, v'ivroi achlin lei, and the Jews here are eating it. That actually is a quote from the Targum Unclus where he says that why Yosef ate when the brothers didn't eat together with the Egyptians back in Brachus, because the Jews would eat lamb chops and the Goyim would not eat the lamb chops, right? Kiroi tzona yoshvatim. Our tribes, our forefathers, the 12 Shvatim, were shepherds. The Yaakov Avinu, certainly Yaakov Avinu was a shepherd. The Zehu Shor Yisrael, this is the root of Klai Yisrael. Shanim Shulutzon, Klai Yisrael is like the sheep, Hanim Shachim Achrei Aroe, who are drawn after the shepherd. We're like sheep. Just like the sheep are drawn after the shepherd, Vein Chachim Achrei of Klau, and they don't question the shepherd, right? The sheep question the shepherd, that's the whole thing. Sheep never question shepherds, right? V'zeu chesed u'reich, and that's what Chazal Yirmiyahu HaNavi says is the great chesed which we did in our youth, where we followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lech tech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo zura, we followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the desert in a land which is not planted. V'lo chosu klal mayochu sham. We didn't pay any attention. What are we going to eat in the desert? And just like we followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we followed Moshe Rabbeinu. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's profession? Shepherd. What was Saul's profession? Shepherd. He grazed asonos. We know it. We can assume he grazed sheep as well. What was David HaMelech's profession? Shepherd. What is an ideal profession for Jews? Not doctors, but shepherds, right? Why shepherds? What? Oh, yeah, it's not. Nowadays, I don't know. I'm not sure. But in any event, so there's obviously a pattern here. Lamin Shigolay, they follow Moshe Rabbeinu. Lamin Shigolay, to believe he's going to redeem them. Absharo Koshi Avoda, the Tokam Shadi, even though when they were in Egypt, they saw how difficult the work was and how strong the taskmasters were. And that is, being sheep is the primary focus of the Maila of Naseh V'Nishma. Naseh V'Nishma, why? We don't ask questions, we do. We follow Hashem like shepherds, like sheep follow the shepherd. Why do we do that? We're not afraid at all. Shema Yitzavim, Dovah Shol Yuchulam, but maybe we'll be commanded something which we cannot withstand. That's what we say to Hashem. Hashiveinu Hashem Elech V'Neshuva. Even though it's true we need the first push from you or the first pull, nonetheless, we, when you return us, Neshuva, we will come back then, we'll follow. We'll immediately follow you. So sheep, the primary salient feature of sheep is that they are drawn and follow without question. Right? Now, in fact, let's think back a little bit. What was the term which Shmuel used when he came to designate Shaul as king? What Hebrew would he use? Not Melech, but Nagid. What do we say, the Aramaic translation? What do we say, Nagid is in Aramaic, the translation for which Hebrew word? Nagidu. Give you a hint. It was in this past week's Maftir. This Maftir this week. It's a tough one. Mishu kulachem tzon lebeis avos. Mishu, the translator make nigidu. Okay? So a Nogid is somebody who's Moshe, who draws. Draw for yourselves. Pull for yourselves. A sheep for each household. That's Mishchu. In Aramaic, it's Negidu. The king, Shaul's purpose was to be a Moshech, to draw after him. He understood that. Wasn't dumb. That's why either he gave or he took. How do you make the nation loyal to you here? Take them with sheep. But that's just superficial. Obviously, the entire message of the Korban Pesach, which Shaul is emphasizing by being poked in, but loyim is to be drawn after HaKadosh Baruch. Shaul knows that that's why he was appointed a Nogid. He was appointed a Nogid to draw Am Yisrael to Hashem. That's the whole purpose of a king, Kleiser. Otherwise, what's he worth? And that is symbolized. What mitzvah crystallizes, best symbolizes that concept? Korban Pesach. Because Korban Pesach is the mitzvah given with sheep specifically to embody being drawn like sheep to the shepherd. So Shaul is the shepherd who shepherds us towards Hashem, and we are the sheep who follow him. Yes. Yeah, now Sham Nukatsong Latavakiwo. But, we're supposed to have the good characteristics of sheep and not the bad characteristics of sheep. We're besides being like Tzon, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're also the Am Kshei Oyeref. Depends. The problem is, we usually misuse the traits. We're supposed to be Katsoin, then we're like Kshei Oyeref. We're supposed to be Kshei Oyeref, then we're like Tzon. We gotta sort it out one of these years. But that's what it boils down to. Yeah, the reality is, of course, that every trait is necessary, but the trait which Korban Pesach represented is the trait of being like Tzon. And Shaul is invoking that trait over here by invoking Korban Pesach. Let's go on with this. V'achilas a Korban Pesach, to eat a Korban Pesach, romes lavlos koach zeh. It means that we want to swallow this capacity, dam shocha, to be drawn katzoin, like sheep, balev, in our hearts. Uzrika sadam. And when you sprinkle the blood of the Korban Pesach on the altar, ura nefesh, erbamis, it's the animalistic soul, in other words, our mundane existence, sheyeshbo, which is within us, Hashem Yisbarach, to God. To draw ourselves towards Hashem, all parts of ourselves. It says the goy is not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach. Why? Not just a goy, but even a mumar, somebody who rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have no capacity to be drawn after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't have that. Jews are automatically have the capacity to automatically be drawn to Hashem. The goyim have such a capacity? No, and therefore they're not allowed to partake Korban Pesach. It's forbidden. In Mitzrayim, their command is specifically Mitzrayim, their command to bring the Korban Pesach. Why? She is borrowed over there because we clarified this concept. That we are the antithesis, the opposite of the Egyptians. That day, the whole concept of Egypt was autonomy. That they should be autonomous. They should not be mevatel themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we see that? After all the makos, Sheikir HaMS, that Paro at least recognized the truth, the nonetheless he hardened his heart. The absolute refusal to be Nimshach Katzon after the truth is a salient characteristic according to the Tzadok of Mitzrayim. That's what they represented. Tzadok is a very interesting play on words. I'm not sure how much I accept what he's about to say, but it's cute. Remember, we quoted before that the sheep, the Mitzroi Dachalin Le, that the Egyptians are fearful of, Ivroi Achlin Le, we consume assume. So he says, what does it mean the Egyptians fear sheep? They fear the midah of sheep. They don't want to be like sheep. They worship that which they're afraid of the sheep. It's not that they worship it because they want to be like sheep. But it's like, you know, the lion in the roof, may God bless and keep the czar far, far away from us. So here too, it's may God bless and keep the sheep, but we don't want to be like sheep. You see, Dachlin Lay, Reb Tzadok learns, they're afraid of being like sheep. They don't want to have anything to do with being drawn. Kind of like, you know, extreme libertarianism. Completely independent, completely autonomous. That was the Midah of Mitzrayim. And he says, again, they're afraid me, to cancel their own will, to be drawn after a shepherd. This is the antithesis of the source of their life force. The entire power of Egypt, is stubbornness. Like the Arizal said, a very interesting Ari, the paro, the word paro, osios ha'oref. Invert the letters of paro and you get ha'oref. Oref meaning the neck. Kishay oref. Paro represents obstinacy. That's pushing in the chumash. A jerk. The 10 makas, maka after maka after maka, he won't send the Jews out. You don't have no more obstinate fool in all of chumash than paro himself. He is mamish, the kshay oref paradigm. Okay? And we got it from them. It's an interesting thing. You think we are in Egypt just tamazoi? Anyone in Egypt just to oppress us? Any nation we go through that nation in order to pick up an important trait. I'm not sure what we're picking up in America. But we picked up in Mitzrayim, we picked up kashas oref. To be stubborn. I know what we're picking up in America, by the way. Picking up superficiality. America is perhaps the most superficial society ever in the history of mankind. Even the Europeans, who aren't that deeper than we are anymore, make fun of the superficiality of America. That's a big chisaron, because we have very limited attention spans, and it's very easy to sell us products, because we are very superficial. However, there's a mila in that as well. The mila is, like Rev Zevin says, if you get, you can never get too deeply involved in something if you're superficial. And therefore, if you're involved in something negative, it's not as hard to get you out of it. If you're a profound individual, a deep person, and you get involved in something bad, so you're really stuck in the mire. But if you're just, you know, a superficial kind of guy, so then, okay, you started doing something bad, so tomorrow you'll do something good. So maybe that's the mileage we have in America, to be superficial. I'm saying that it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek. But today, in Mitzrayim, there certainly was a mileage. The mileage of Mitzrayim was kashu soyres. To be stiff-necked. The thing is, with the right measure. Not like Paro was. Okay? So he says, Paro made all you are. Paro always used to stand out by the river, and the river was an object of veneration in Mitzrayim. Again, not because they liked the river, but they were afraid of a river, because what does a river do? It flows. It's moshech. It's drawn. That is the way the Egyptians wanted not to be. And if Paro had to go out to the river, he went out early in the morning when nobody would see him. Not just to attend his needs early in the morning, but because let people associate him with the river. He doesn't want to be Nimshach. No such thing. Well, Paro made how you are. Paro standing by the river, Shigama Yor, also the river, Shuanora Moshech, which is a flowing river, Yeshbo Koch Mashiach has the power to draw. Is that called Koch HaMayim? That's the entire point of water. That they're drawn and they go through that which pulls them. Or that were there with that place where they're flowing. Vamidas kashus or po, and Paro stood with his great obstinacy, who are or on the river, no, with against the river. That's why Egypt was full of sorcery. Shizek kol yonam. What's the point of sorcery? Shizek kol ilahachish b'mayu shamala, to deny the control of the heavenly host, that was to stand opposite to Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Now, from this we also see how great the sin of the ego Hazorim was, because I imagine this was an entirely complete denial, getting away from the sheep or the sheep, and getting to something which is entirely the concept, the ego Hazorim.
So, right, the Egel Azov was the antithesis of the Mashiachah, right?
It was the antithesis of the proper Mashiachah.
The proper Mashiachah, yeah.
It was a Mashiachah. It was meant to be some sort of...
What kind of Mashiachah about an Egel?
The Egel was supposed to be some sort of leader. Give us something to lead us into the motion that comes back.
Yeah.
The one Mashiachah,
Egel does not express
the way we view an Egel.
No, you're both right. You're both right. Let me explain. An Egel, on the one hand... God, this is what I said in my drasha by Shabbos. You guys missed my drasha because don't die my shul. I'll give it to you now. And Kisisa. On the one hand, an ego salient feature is that it's yonik, is that it nurses. The Gemara says, famous Gemara, Yosef Masha Para your ego wrote linok Para wrote. The truth is that the Para wants to give more than the ego wants to take, but the ego's salient feature is that it takes. It's a taker. On the other hand, that means an ego is what's the word, dependent. Like a sheep is dependent, but different. Because on the other hand, an ego's other salient feature, which the Malvin speaks about in Brachos, he says an ego is not broken yet by a yoke. An ego is considered to be free and wild. A shor, which is a grown-up ego, is a worker. It's yoked and harnessed. An ego is not broken in. Now, another religion, let's say, quote-unquote, saying this tongue-in-cheek, normal religions, not Judaism. In regular religion, what happens is you want the gods to bestow on you favors so you can lead life the way you want. In other words, you come to the gods and you say, listen, I tell you what, I'll sacrifice a few animals or a few human beings or whatever, and you make life good for me. Right? That's the old time religions before Judaism came along. Avodah Zarah, in other words, what we're saying is, it's true, we know we're dependent on you. We know we're not, we're like an ego which is supposed to be yonek. But we want to be also like an ego in that we can then be free to do as we please. So the ego represents a classic old-time religion. That's what the ego is. And the truth is, even today, Christianity, Islam, all those religions, they're based on the principle that do what God wants, and you'll be able then to do as you please in the rest of your life. Judaism doesn't believe in that. Our religion is unique. Our religion wants you not to be an ego, but to be a para, not to be a calf, but a cow. Because what's the difference between a calf and a cow? The calf takes. The cow gives. That's why the takana for the ego azov, Rashi says, the beginning of Parshas Chukas is, Tovo eim utkanech tzoras beno. Let the mother come and clean up her son's mess. So the para duma, he sees on para, the same Parshas week. Para this year. Para duma is the tikkun for ego, because we want you to be a giver. Because the purpose of Judaism is not to let you go free and do as you please, as long as you please Hashem. No, the purpose of Judaism is to make you a Tzelem Elohim. A Tzelem Elohim, what represents a Tzelem Elohim? What? Right, but what form of behavior? What's the most divine behavior which there is? To be a giver. Michta Meliel divides all people in the world into givers and takers. The takers are the antithesis of Tzelem Elohim. Because what is Hashem's core rutzon in creating the Bria? To give, to be mated, to do chesed with the Brios. You want to emulate Hashem. You have to be a giver. You have to be a para, not an ego. That's why the para, the giver, is the antithesis and the antidote for the ego hazov, which is a taker. Now, one other thing in this regard is that the word para, in fact, comes from the term pareh v'rabeh, to be fruitful, to give, not just because it gives birth, but also because it gives off milk. And egel it comes to the lashon of agol, of round. And a round is generally something which is a receptacle, a container is a round container. And the malachim, it says one of the reasons it says that they made a mistake and they made the egel azov is because at the Kriyas Yamsuf they saw a vision. And in the vision they saw angels. And the angels have raglaim karegel egel. Their feet are like the feet of a golem, of calves. Why is that? So the pshat, I think the pshat is, an angel cannot be a tzelem Elohim. He has no free will. An angel cannot be a giver. That's why we're forbidden to daven to a malach. To daven to a malach is avodah zara. Because to ask something of a malach denies the essential character of a malach. A malach is only a conduit, a pipeline. He's not a giver. So the raglayim regal ego, it's a round foot to symbolize that they're just a pipeline, a conduit, a receptacle which gives further to people. And they wanted to have an ego because they wanted to themselves, Am Yisrael, at time of the chet ego, to be, we'll be like Malachim. We'll constantly be getting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll be getting and we'll be free at the same time to do as we please, like an eagle taka is. That of course Burgle said you can't have. That's not what Judaism is all about. So you're both right. An eagle receives his dependence, and an eagle at the same time is free on the other hand. It has both aspects, and Christ are one of both aspects. But tzon is different. The tzon, they're certainly not free. They're followers. They're not going out. The ego frolics. The cat frolics on the field. The zone just follows the leader. So that is a different midah altogether. Klai Yisrael nimshal not like agolim, but the nimshal like zone. Not to be dependent. No, adarabba. And as far as I respect, we'd rather you be a para. Not to be dependent, but to be, we want you to be a giver and independent. But we want you to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu unquestioningly. To be nimshach after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishchu kulachem tzom. Yeah. This is too Wittnerian. Did you get this from Rav Wittner? Same thing. It's Wittnerian. No, it's too complex for tonight. You have to another time. I'm familiar with that Rav Wittner, but it's not for now. All right. In any event, so now when they're coming to fight Amalek, I haven't yet tied in all this about Mitzrayim. The connection between Amalek and Mitzrayim will become apparent in a couple of minutes. But right now we know that Mitzrayim's salient feature was personal autonomy, right? Freedom to do as one pleases, the antithesis of tzon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them in Mitzrayim, Dafka, in the place of that kashrus oref, of that rebelliousness, to take the tzon. And here Shaul is also telling you, you're about to fight Amalek, this is the time to take the tzon. Mishu, take the tzon. What?
I'm like in Mitzrayim and I'm like in Pesach. Which is the connection that you want to make?
Amalek and Mitzrayim. The same way they fought Pesach time, but the same way they fought Mitzrayim, they had to fight Amalek.
Was that the one that connects Pesach with Amalek?
I do, but not yet. I've got to make the connection a couple of psukim. All right, now let's go. I have to get to Pasuk Zayin and Ches before we do that. Okay, let's do Pasuk Hey. Shaul came to the city of Amalek and he fought in the Nachal, in the Wadi, in the riverbed. Not really a swamp. It's a swamp in Hebrew's agam, but this is in a riverbed. Now Rashi brings down here the Chazal. Vayelachim Manachal is where he made him a mistake. Rabbi Seinu Amrel Itzki Nachal. He fought on matters of the Nachal. What does that mean? Rav, he argued with Dadis when he made a judgment call on his own. and it was a false judgment call. Umavishvil nefesh achasif, for killing one soul, Amra Tzaratar said, Arof Egla Banachal, make the Egla Rufa in the riverbed, in the Nachal, Bishvil Koran, Fush Tehlo, Kol Shekain. So for killing all these souls in war, is it not a Kavachom, that it's the act of undue cruelty which requires Kapara? Imadam Chata, and certainly if the human beings of Amalek sinned, what sin did their animals commit? At least I should leave the animals alive. He left Agag alive because the first guy of a Chomer said, I can't kill all of them, it's too cruel. And he left Agag alive. Why Agag? We'll wait till after, until after Pesach. But specifically Agag he left alive. And also the animals. He said the animals didn't sin. What am I going to kill the animals for? That's Rashi. Interesting Malbim here. We take a look at the Malbim, but it's okay. Vayava v'chule v'yor v'nachal. Pashif is a fascinating Malbim. The Malbim is very good, very interesting, very systematic on this whole episode here. Pashif, emi chukei ha-melochim l'tagir melchama b'lo eze ilo. Kings cannot fight war without some reason. You can't just start a war. In Hitler, Machshmo started the war with Poland, right? So he made up a ruse. You know, he said that the Polish shot over the border at him. So Sheker Gomer. They created an incident, right? But they have to. It doesn't pass for a king to wage war without some sort of cause. So Kenyan Mali Vilach. Like Gidon said to the not Gidon, Yiftach said to the Ammonites, well, why did you come to fight in my land? So he decided to pick a fight in the Nachal in front of the cities of Amalek. Shaul Amar, but Shaul said he claimed that this wadi in this valley belongs to him. And Amalek had fought with him. I was there in this matter. This was the cause of the war. In other words, it created the incident in order to have a legitimacy for the war. Says the Malbim, the Gamzem Moira. This also demonstrates Shalokiyam Amitzah Karoy that it wasn't fulfilling the mitzvah Hashem properly. Shaloyal Avakish Raksibam Ibn Hashem, Raksibam Nesha Hashem Sivo. What other reason does he need to fight the war? More than HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. He needs some incident, some ruse. This is Gufa, part of the sin itself. Hashemah David, it should suffice him like David HaMelech says, Halumetzanech Hashem Esno, those who you hate, I hate. Umitzkomecha, those who rise up against you as Kotei, I will wage war against them. Lo Rivacher Asherlol Hashemu, he shouldn't have another fight which is not the fight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, this makes the sin even worse. Okay, let's do Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Shol Keni. Shaul said to the Keni, to the children of Israel, we're living in the vicinity of Amalek, and we'll see why in a minute. Go, remove yourselves, and go down. Go down. Is that interesting? What does it mean, go down? It means Amalek was living in a high place, right?
So it could be also
a figure of speech.
Yeah.
But I want to say it's taka allegorical, but it means that Amalek, the place where Amalek lives, is on a high spiritual level. You'll ask me how I know that. I'll see you show you in Rashi. But in the meantime, go away from them, lest I eradicate you with them. When they came up from Egypt. So what was the chesed? Is machlokas here? We're showing him. So the Rashi and Radak, the Rashi and Radak say the chesed is that Yisrael came to eat and to spend time with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rashi and Radak say. And that says, I didn't eat with all of Chai Yisrael, but since they ate with the Gdoy, since he ate with the Manhigim, the leaders of Chai Yisrael, it's as if he did Chesed and ate and had Partur and had a connection with all of Chai Yisrael, Im Kol Bnei Yisrael. The Rabbag says, more Pashup Shad in my opinion, says the Pshad is that he set up the court system. That was a Chesed he did. So big Chesed, all of Chai Yisrael, they should have a decent court system. Okay? In Kovnei Sobalos and Mitzrayim, by Yasser Kenin, the Kenites remove themselves from Amalek. Now look at Pasuk Vav, a fascinating Rashi. Rashi here. Keni, Bnei Yisrael. What were they doing there? So Yosef, what do you think? They went to live with Amalek? It's Amalek, Rashi, Mitzrayim. It's like low living in stone. What were they doing living in among Amalek? That's an amazing thing. So Yosef, Amidbar Yehuda, they're living in the vicinity in the desert of Yehuda. Benegev, in the Negev, Arad, in Arad. Know where Arad is? It's in the Negev, right? It's the gateway to the Negev, so it's south of, south, so near Be'er Sheva, right. Shehochu Eitz, why was that doing there? Shehochu Eitz El Yavetz. They went to live with Yavetz, Osniel Ben Kenaz, whose other name was Yavetz, who was the Rosh Hashiva at the time of Yehoshua. He was the big time of time Yeshua, says they forgot 3,000 halachas of Moshe Rabbeinu died, and he brought them all back with his pilpul. Why they go down there to learn Torah? And Arad was where Amalek lived. Like it says, Amalek came to find Baruch Hu, because that was Amalek. He lived in a Negev. For Amalek, it's a Negev. It's an amazing thing. You know what it's like? It's like having a yeshiva. It's like having Chveis Potovich in the middle of Hitler's Berlin. Do you know what's going on here? The Amalekim were living in Arad, and at the same time, Osniel ben Kenaz, Yavetz's yeshiva was in Arad. Do you see that in Rashi? You see? It says that, right? And that's what the Canaan were doing there. They weren't there because they wanted to be with Amalek. They wanted to be in the best yeshiva in the world. They went to want to go to the Ponovich or whatever of the time. So they, America's a Rav, why you, man? Whatever your favorite yeshiva is. So they wanted to go to their favorite best yeshiva at the time. So they went to Arad. So what does this mean? How can you have the Amalekites and at the same time Yeshiva Sosniel Ben Kenaz in the same city? That's where the Canaan were there. So it's a very, very fundamental Reb Tzadok. He says that places which have great potential, says people have great potential, and places which have great potential, and dates or times which have great potential, used properly, great Kedusha. Misused, the greatest tumah. Here, and he speaks about that, about Shechem. Because Shechem, it says, was a makom muchan l'puranus. So he says, muchan l'puranus doesn't mean necessarily bad. L'piraon. Puranus is piraon. Payment. You're good, you get the greatest payment in Shechem. You're bad, you get the worst payment in Shechem. Same thing is true here. Arad could have the greatest Kedusha. Arad says that Arad said, l'achim yadrin. So he wants to be smart, he should go towards the south. Face the south, go towards the south. The Negev was a place where there was no luxuries, no excesses. All they could do there was sit and learn. Tremendous potential for Kedusha there. With what? Bavel. Yeah. That was a place, yeah, it was the goals, right. That's right. So places could have great potential for Kedusha, great potential for... And that was going on here. Amalek, the same place where Amalek was the same place where Osniel was. And that was, it went both directions, and that way it was Redumi Toch Amaleki. Ithaca was a holy place. Arad was a holy place to learn Torah. Go down. Now's not the time. You come back later. Right now, go out from Amaleki.
The tomb of Amalek would transcend the place and time.
One would think so, right?
Well, didn't Rabbi say that before, that they're the antithesis of...
Yeah.
That wouldn't make a difference. What
so I'm saying in the same...
There was a shy of the fact that they have such tomb that they're creating there, that gave it the potential for having the great...
No, I think they're both effects of the same cause. One is not the cause of the other effect.
I understand that. Many examples where Kedusha exists simultaneously.
Right,
I understand. But it's being a stomach.
That's right.
No, I understand. But it just bothers me that.
Think of the. Think what happens at the Dome of the Rock. So it creates a place of the greatest Kedusha in the world, and at the same time, you have this great tumah there.
Right, but let's say you put the Dome of the Rock somewhere else. You have the same tumah.
It's not that the great tumah creates a possibility for the great Kedusha. But if you see a place which has great tumah, it's a sign that there's great potential in that place, which is right now being misused. That's what I would say. No. Our preconceived notion of Amalek is incorrect. Our assumption is that Amalek detested Jews. It's not necessarily so. That's true, but it wasn't necessarily true at this time. That's what we'll have to see over in the course of the next couple, the next few shurim. But not tonight. Don't have the time tonight. Ray running behind.
He's having a very good life living in Germany.
That's right. It's not so pushing. Gamorik was highly cultured. That's what we're going to get to. A gog of the height of culture and intellectual achievement at his time, just like pre-war Germany. The same thing. Now, he says here, the Rebbe says, on my notes, I read just two lines, don't have to look inside, says, V'Yisro Nishar B'Madregas T'chilo La'Gerim. Yisro was Rosh, the first Ger Tzedek was Yisro. V'Yosha B'Toch Amalek. And they lived with Amalek. Kama Furish B'Nin Shol, like it says in Bashol. Kismuchim B'Madregas, and they're connected there in Madrega. Zer Reish is Goyim. Amalek is the first among Goyim. V'Zer Reish is Gerim. And Yisro is the first among Gerim. V'Kitzara Tov Shav Goyim, the Yisro is the good side of Goyim, Kasher B'Shem Yisro Yichanu, when they become Jewish. I'm not explaining that for the moment. There's a connection though. Yisro and Amalek are connected. Okay, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. Pasuk Zayin. Very important pasuk. Vayach Shol es Amalek. Shol smote Amalek. Mechavilah bo'achos Shur. Asher al-Pnei Mitzrayim. From Chavilah, which is on the way to Shur, which is on the way to Egypt. Oh. What do we see here? It's a connection. Where Amalek begins, where Mitzrayim ends. That's right. There's a connection between Amalek and Mitzrayim. Also, the places here are very significant. Chavilah bo'achashur, that pasuk appears in Bereishis, Chafei Yudches, that place, and there it says that the Arabs live there, that Yishmael lived in that area from Chavilah bo'achashur. So the Radak says that maybe there are Arabs there and Yishmael and Amalek at the same time. The archaeologists say that Amalek was kind of a nomadic people. So they lived sometimes here, sometimes there. At this point, they lived in this area, which was the Arabs lived in before. What's more interesting, though, in my opinion, is that in Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the process of the word, the name of the place Chavilah is brought down to. Chavilah is the place Asher Sham HaZahav. The scribes said the four rivers where they went, and Chavilah was the place where the gold was. Why gold? What does gold have to do with Amalek? So turn to my last page, the page of my notes. It's another episodic. The Chavilah was the place where the Zav was. There was a different places for different materials. I don't remember which was where. Right. I don't remember which was where, but the Chavilah specifically, Asher Sham HaZav right afterwards. So I think you're right, because there's a couple of other raw materials there also. Anyway, B'midrash Yashim Rabbah, Torei Zav, it says, we're going to make a few towers of gold. Zubiz Asayom. That's the loot which Klai Yisrael got at Yamsuf. In the Kudas HaKesef, with dots of silver, Zubiz Asayom, that's the loot that they got out of Egypt. Which is more precious? Gold. Where they get more loot? Kriyas Yamsuf. Kishem Sheish Hefesh Ben Kesef Lezav, just like there's a distinction between silver and gold, Ken Yeshvach Bibiza Sayom Bibiza Mitzrayim, so too there was the loot from Mitzrayim, from the Kriyas Yamsuf, was more impressive than the loot from Egypt. Ukfar Marnu, we already said, Sheina Peirush Al Kesef Lezav. We're not talking about literal silver and literal gold. That's not what God meant when he said to Avram, when they're going to go out of Egypt, they're going to get a lot of good money. But Avram would care they get a lot of money when they leave Egypt. The pshat is Ava Sashem and Yira Sashem. Shenikra b'zorah kodesh ha-yira zahav. Yira is called gold. It's gold is represented as fire because it's yellow, which is yira. The kesef cheshek vava kesef in Hebrew is kisufim, the desire, the yearning for something. That's ava. That is a big kasha. Because what's more precious generally, ava yira, ava? Yet what is more precious, gold or silver? Gold. So it's a contradiction in terms. We always say Ava is greater than Yira. The Kahan Amar Shugdol Biza Sayam Shuzav, and he would say that the big loot at Yamsu, which is gold, Yira, is Minakudas Kesef. Ava is greater than the silver of love. Kambemizav Yakar Tami Yosem Kesef, and the truth is, gold is always more precious than silver. But Tzarchlius Behevech. and it should be the other way around. Because then since Zav Alutsi Yira and Kesef Lava, so really God should have made silver more precious in this world. Achsiv, so says Abtadik Levshad is like this. It says Mashem Elkechel Shor Meimcha, what does God request from you? Kim Lira, but that you fear Hashem. V'isa Mirabenu Rebunim Zichron Tzadik Levrachol Chayolam Abba. The Ikri Stadlus Adam, the primary toil of a human being, Bemidah Sayira, is to become Yirei Shamayim. Everything in this world is to work on your Yira. V'achakach Zoyche La'ava V'matonim Hashem Yisbarach. If you have Yira Shamayim, you'll get love Avas Hashem as a gift. V'kshram Ba'akedim, Ba'akedim Yitzhak, it says, Whoa, Avram Avinu, what was the ultimate adrega Hashem said about him? Ki atoya dati ki rei alokim ato. You fear Hashem. V'lo chasach, you didn't hold back your son.
If you work for the least important one, you get the more important one?
Right. The year is, because the year is much bigger than he's saying. You can love God. Look at all the new age, you know, spiritual, touchy-feely, religious stuff. You know, love, warm feelings, that's easy. Judaism stresses the earth. That's hard. The mitzvahs lo sasei are much harder than the mitzvahs sasei.
Shouldn't it be the other way, that it should be harder to get to the more important thing?
What?
Shouldn't it have been that it's harder to get to the more important thing?
No.
If Abba is the more important thing, shouldn't that be a harder thing to attain than Yira? Shouldn't Abba be harder to attain than Yira?
No. Not necessarily, because true. What happens is that if you have Yira, then Abba comes as a gift.
Right, but I'm saying the way it's set up,
yeah.
Fine, set up again. But the way it should work is work for something that's more important, and therefore the thing that you want to work for that's harder to work for is the more important thing. Because we're working for the easier thing. That's why the system is set up.
Right. Why? Not the easier thing. We're not working for the easier thing.
Which is harder to attain.
We're working for the lower madrega. That's what we're working for. Lower madrega, but it's much harder to attain. That's it. It's a much higher demand to work for something which is really not as significant. In other words, if I told you to work for gold, it would be much easier for work for that than working for silver, right?
Yeah, but if I know if I'm working for silver, I'll get the gold anyways.
No, but it's not that like that. So that's the Torah saying precisely that we want you to realize that the gold, as far as you're concerned, is not the higher level. In other words, it's easy, let me put it this way. It's much easier to do one transcendent act, even serious nefesh, to die al kiddush Hashem, that to live every day a life of daily drudgery, getting up for minyan in the morning, right? It's hard. Yeah, for minyan to get up for daf yomi, right? So what is much more dramatic, bold, you know, inspiring, you know, higher level to die al kiddush Hashem? But that's not the real need. That's not any hard nisayon. What's the much harder nisayon? To be a Yirei Shamayim day in, day out, day in, day out. So HaKadosh Baruch says, you know what? I'll make you a deal. You be a Yirei Shamayim day in, day out, which is much harder than Yisrael. Then I'll give you Ava as a gift. And if you don't have the Yirei Shamayim, then the Ava is baloney as well. It's true Ava is higher, but there's no such thing as Ava without Yira. You can't have one without the other. If you have Ava without Yira, then the Ava is suspect. It's really probably just touchy-feely, warm religious feelings, as opposed to true Judaism and true Avoda. On the other hand, there's no such thing as Yira without Ava. That also would not be sufficient. If you have Yira, we'll give you the Ava as a gift. Va'avtos Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha is one thing. That's the another thing which Moshe Rabbeinu says is V'atayisra Ma'ashem Elokecha Shomayim Chokim Lira. So Ava is a specific mitzvah, right? Just like there are many other mitzvahs. But Kodesh Baruch says to Klai Yisrael, how do you get to that mitzvah? The Yira. You're right. Ava is a mitzvah, and perhaps an even more important mitzvah. But Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's only one way to get to there. The one way to get there is Yiras Hashem. That's it. Yiras Hashem. That's the precious thing. That's the Zav. The other thing is gold, the silver. Not that the Yira is worth more than Ava in terms of its level, but rather that in terms of your avoda, the primary emphasis you should seek is Yira Hashem. So Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik says that more mitzvahs lo sasei Judaism than mitzvahs sasei. Because we really want you to build your character as a hero, as the Yirei Shamayim, not just to be a touchy-feely religious type. Okay? So he says,
Rishon Bakedo Ksi by the Akedo, it says, again, we did the Vaflicho in Yakedo Yomirov Ava Sashem. Hi, Lichora, the Akedo was supplanting Ava with Ava. Shadocha Ava Spino Yechido, he supplanted the love of his single son, his solitary son, with the love of Hashem. Nonetheless, Ach Shlemus Ava Kshaboy De Yiro, I don't want to go tonight, but it goes in great detail as really that was a test of Yiro, and that Ava had to come Dafkai De Yiro. That's why Kriyas Yamsa is so much more important than it's here's Mitzrayim. Because it says, Vayiro Ames Hashem. Kriyas Yamsa, they got the Moira of Hashem, which they didn't get in Mitzrayim. Vayiminu Bashem. So Zohu La Yiro Ilo, and then they got to the highest level of Yiro, Vemuna Shlema. Vizobischus Avram, this is Chus of Avram's test and his success at the Arcado, the Sivai Vakat, say Allah. It says, since he was Bokea, he split the logs for the Ola. For the so too his children were zochet to vaybaku amayim that the waters were split, and the vaynish zochel midas ava the year zochet ava through the year, and it says he brings down halachically it's like this is too. So Gemara in Bamitzia says hazov koines hakesef, gold acquires silver, silver doesn't acquire gold. Euro acquires ava, ava doesn't require euro. Right, but for you have to start with Yira, you can't start with Ava. You can't jump Madrigas. Now, two different Chuvas, that's right. Now, both Mitzrayim and Amalek resist Mishru to be drawn after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Negidu. How's Mitzrayim less so? I wanted to play on the words here. Mitzrayim means, Mitzrayim is a Lashona Meitzarim, of boundaries, of being set apart. They want to set themselves apart. Each person has personal autonomy, boundaries. You can't draw me into your realm. Amalek's even worse. Amalek, Reb Zevin brings down this farm, say that Amalek is a lashon of Am Malak, the nation which separates, Malikos, to separate the body from the head. Amalek is completely severed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They try and sever from Hashem, not just restricted to borders like Meitzarim, but completely sever the body from the head. But they do it in two different ways. Mitzrayim, the way they remain separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way they resisted Hashem, is by luxuries and excesses. Kesef, silver, right? Loves and, you know, indulgence, right? And Arias, that was Mitzrayim. Amalek, they separated from Hashem, they resisted Hashem, but not with the Arias and the indulgences, the Taiva, but by Leitzanus and Chutzpah. They were brazen and they were brazen and they were scoffers. They were scoffed. It says, Chazal say that the Pasuk in Mishnah says, Leitztakeh upesi yarim. Says hit the scoffer, and then the Pesi you can bring to you can trick the Pesi into believing. It's interesting, it says Leitz Takeh Zamolik. Beat the Leitz Zamolik. Because they scoffed, they didn't say they say Am Yisrael can't get to Hashem, Hagwash. We can get in, we can destroy Am Yisrael. Hashem is powerless, so we can get in and usurp the relationship between our Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It says Leitzak is Amalek. Upesi Yarim Ze Yisrael. And then a Pesi will be brought to Amunah, that's Yisrael. A Pesi, says Reb Tzadik, he brings down, is one who can believe anything. It says Pesi Yamim Chol Dover. Now, Yisrael, when he saw he saw Kriyas Yamsuf, says that's when he came, right? He saw the nation of Kriyas Yamsuf, he saw the Yira. He was swept by that Yira and is brought to Klal Yisrael. However, and that's when Yisrael, we still came to Mimis Gayer. That's the Rashi's God, Gayrim. The same thing, Amalek. He saw Kriyas Yamsuf, immediately after Kriyas Yamsuf, what did Amalek do? What attacked? Immediately after Kriyas Yamsuf. Shalach, right before Yisrael, there's two parishes are next to each other. He said, that's the Rashi's God. The Rashi's Goyim sees Kriyas Yamsuf and is chutzpedik.
it doesn't matter. The Mitzrayim, he says, yes, they couldn't resist Hashem. They tried to resist Hashem, they couldn't, but that's because they didn't have the right derech and resistance. They resisted by indulgences, by arayas, by daiva. That's where, but where Mitzrayim ends, we'll take over. We're going to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supremacy by chutzpah, just brazenness and chutzpah. They weren't necessarily immoral, lustful people. They were just chutzpahdik and late. They were brazen and they were scoffers, and that's what they were. That's why they resisted Amalek, so Kriyas Yamsu, and like the Chazal say, Leitzonos Achaz Doich El Tochochos. You can rebuke a scoffer hundreds and thousands of times, or just reject and say, baloney. They rebelled with chutzpah. Now, what's the power to overcome Amalek? The power to overcome Amalek represents brazenness, boldness, a fiery resistance. Azov used the improper way. Chavila, they lived in Chavila, which was Zav, Yira, used improperly. Brazenness against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What you need to fight that, you have to fight fire with fire. You come and you fight a Yira with Yira, the Koch of Kriyas Yamsuf. That power, you fight with the power which influenced Yisrael, made Yisrael come. That power of Kriyas Yamsuf is the same power with which you fight Amalek. Yira fights Yira. That's the way to do it. And Shaul needed that strong, bold power, a sheer and steel Yira, to fight Amalek. But he didn't have it. That was the test that he failed. He was shomel on Amalek. He succumbed to this weakness, ava improperly used. In other words, an ava, a chesed, a rachamim, in the wrong place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Amalek is complete evil. And on complete evil, you're not allowed to have any rachmonis. This is the place of complete and total yira. They use the zav, the brazenness and boldness of fire in the wrong way. You use it in the right way. You make sure to use it l'shem shamayim to overcome Amalek. It's interesting, this is the koach of yira, which overcomes evil and lays a foundation for the subsequent ava. Chazal tells us that the order is first you eradicate Amalek and then you build a Beis HaMikdash. There are three mitzvahs which Klai Yisrael and Nitzkavu when they came at Eretz Yisrael. First, to appoint the king. The king is the one who's supposed to draw everybody in the proper direction. And that's what Shaul tried to do with having them bring Korbanos Pesach. He said, Mishku, let's all join and let's follow the command of Shmuel and let's now be drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the proper midah. That was the first thing. The Minui Melech and the Melech leading the nation. And that's what the Tzona is supposed to represent. Good. But then he muffed up. The next stage is supposed to be the Yira, using the power of, developing the power of Yira within oneself to fight, to combat the Leitzonus and the Chutzpah of Amalek. And he failed in that one. Eventually, that would have brought to Ava afterwards the connection of Kodesh Baruch Hu of a Binyan Beis HaMikdash, of a great Ava towards Hashem. What happened is that Amalek prevented Shaul from that. And we should bear in mind, it was a terrible Nisayon. We're going to see right after Pesach when we come back that the chemla, the mercy which Shaul felt was a test which was very terrible, and he failed because it was such a terrible and such a difficult test for him he misused his yira here and that energy and that determination, he misused it later on. That's a good point. But ultimately what happened here is that Mitzrayim and Amalek are connected. The way we see here again, as I said, that the Mitzrayim and Amalek, where Mitzrayim ends, Amalek begins. Amalek is a stronger form of evil in that direction. The resistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the antithesis of Tzon, the antithesis of being drawn towards Hashem. Therefore, the antidote for both is a Korban Pesach, to be drawn completely after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The problem was that the midah with which they were supposed to be drawn at this time was a midah of complete and total Yiras Hashem. The midah of Kriyas Yamsuf. The midah of Kriyas Yamsuf, which is what inspired Yisro to come, and which was Taka, what should have stopped Amalek, but didn't because of whatever reason back then. But this was the midah to employ now. And Shaul made a mistake and slipped into the Ahava, to the Chesed, which was misplaced here, because Kol HaMerach, now to be Merachim Ala Achzorim, which is what he did wrong. But that midah of being drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the midah which Shaul tried to use and tried to employ, and ultimately we have to see why he failed, and we'll come back to that after Pesach.